fact, and all those other things. And this one on Wednesday is really significant. If you're going to be able to come to some but not to all, then I would really encourage you that this Wednesday is really important, because it's about developing a protocol within the team, you know, and understanding this is what we want, this is what God's heart is, this is what he's saying to all of us. And
now I'm sort of really quite excited about today, because I love vision and what God is saying, and God is saying so much to us. Just to briefly recap, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. And God has spoken to us many, many times over many years, revealing his will to us. And that will is often progressive. In other words, he reveals something, and then later on he reveals something else, more. And we'll see that's a pattern of what he does. This was where it started. This is the sort of DNA for us as a church, the ministry of Jesus. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. We know that scripture. That's where we get the name Freedom Church from. To proclaim liberty, or freedom to captives and freedom to prisoners. That was our heart. That is the heart of God. Jesus came to do that. And we, of course, want to do what he's called us to do in light of that. It's really important that we do that. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision or revelation of God, the people perish. And that isn't just revelation that God gives us, it's revelation of him as a person. Because everything he gives us in terms of prophetic words is a revelation of himself. He reveals himself, his will and his ways and his purpose to us. You know, sometimes we can say, well, God's given me a word. What he's revealing is his heart to you. It's his heart that he reveals in the prophetic. It's who he is, his mind, the mind of Christ, the heart of the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit work together. And God gives us revelation. And without that revelation, we're on our own. We're doing things our own way. And God wants us to do things his way. Now, we've got a statement on our little leaflet. And this is developed. It used to be, when I first heard this whole thing about freedom and liberty to the captives, God gave me a little phrase, free to be, free to do, and free to go. And since I had my sort of time of prayer and fasting and seeking God and having heavenly direction, God added to that, free to know who God is and free to see your destiny in God. And those two come before the others. Because unless we know God, how are we going to know ourselves? Because we are sons of God, children of God. Unless we see our destiny, how are we going to do the things that God calls us to do? How do we know they're going to line up with him? And God wants us to be free in everything, unrestricted from anything of the world that holds us back from being like Jesus. Because that is what God is calling us to do. So we have a statement of the church helping people find and fulfill their purpose and destiny. We don't want to tie people into a central vision. Actually, it's not like that. You are the church, and you shape what church looks like. As you fulfill your destiny, we will change our shape, because we are the church. So it's not about a central vision of people stuck to a central thing of a structure. It's us knowing God, knowing who we are, and doing the things that God's called us to do that actually shapes who we are as a people. And God gives us vision and draws us together, and he moves us forward. We have permission, everybody, to be church relationally. It's like you don't need a permission to form a group. We don't have house groups. We don't have assigned groups. But you have permission to be with one another, to form relationships, to come together and do the things that God's called you to do. We don't restrict that. We have apostolic and prophetic direction. We have a heavenly vision given to us by God. And that's for revival. Ultimately, we want to see a visitation from God. We want the presence of God, God's glory here, so it transforms our lives, transforms the community in which we live, and ultimately transforms the whole planet. Because that is God's intention from the very beginning. When he called Adam and Eve, he called them to go and fill the earth and to bring God's kingdom, to have dominion. And while we were worshiping this morning, I had a vision, and I saw the planet, and I was looking down from it, from above, and saw the whole thing, and I saw like rings going round the planet, like Saturn's rings. And I thought, this looks really interesting. I thought, what is it, God? And God showed me and said, look, this is how my glory is going to fill the earth. And I looked closely into these rings, and then I saw the rings just going round and round and enveloping the whole earth. And God said, this is how my glory will fill the earth, when my people occupy their thrones in the second heaven, the place I've given them to manifest the kingdom of God here on earth. And yes, we have to do it practically, physically, but we do that because we have authority and we know that what that is. Now, I want to pick up on a couple of things that Sue Davis said last week, just because I think it really fits in with what God's saying to us. She talked about a spirit of excellence, and she put that in context. And the context was 1 Corinthians 12:31. You have chosen the most excellent way. You know what the most excellent way is? Love. That's the most excellent way. Everything we do, and the outward expression of that, is about love. So everything we do is about love. Love motivates what we do and why we do what we do. And if it doesn't, then it's not the most excellent way. And John 3:16, famous verse, God so loved the world he gave. So everything about having a spirit of excellence is that we want to give. We want to give away what we've received. Phil said this now. Freely you've received, freely give. That is what a spirit of excellence is about. It means we do everything to the best of our ability in God so that we can bless others. To bless, we need to be blessed. Of course, God wants to bless us. He wants us to receive. He wants us to have everything that his promises, but he wants us to do it. Now, she also said that 2011 will be a year of inheritances and promises fulfilled. And I believe that we're going to start to see that. 2 Corinthians 1:20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. There's no promise which is available outside of Jesus, outside of our relationship with Jesus, who brings us into a relationship with the Father and fills us with the Holy Spirit. Every promise that God has made are found in Christ and in that relationship. And this year, we're going to find a greater depth of our relationship in Jesus and in God. And that is what's going to release those promises. But what is our inheritance? Because God is going to restore our inheritance. And I believe that that is restoration, not back to what the New Testament church was, which was great, but it didn't change the whole world. And it didn't see Jesus return. It's a restoration to what God first intended in the Garden of Eden. Haggai 2:9 says, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory, says the Lord. And people often take that and say, former glory was when Solomon's temple, or former glory was the early New Testament church, and we were going to have greater glory in the end times. Well, I'm taking it back a step further. Even what God saw in Adam and Eve, if they hadn't have sinned, there would have been more to come, because they were called to be into the image of Jesus, and they would have been transformed themselves. So God's glory in these days is going to go way beyond what Adam and Eve had. And that's really, really exciting if you think about it. Romans 8:19 says, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Even creation remembers what it was like under Adam and Eve when they were in dominion. And creation is waiting for God's sons to be revealed. That's us. In our sonship, in our identity as his children, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now, if you meditate on that, you could be there for quite a while, what the freedom of the glory of the children of God is, because that is what our inheritance is. When we come into our inheritance as God's children, it will bring the glory of God into the earth, and we will see things transformed. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That is our destiny, to be like Jesus. And Jesus said we would do the works that he did, and even greater works. So there are even greater miracles and greater dimensions of things than Jesus did. And Jesus wants us to be conformed to that image so that we can do those things ourselves. A restoration of our birthright. When Adam sinned, he saw that he was naked. He felt shame and fear and self-consciousness. God is going to deal with that in us. Because naturally we have inherited from Adam the results of Adam's sin. But spiritually we've been born again of the Spirit of God, and God is to restore our soul and bring us back into the full promise of who we should be. Adam introduced rational humanism. You can know, which is knowledge apart from God. God wants us to come back to revelation knowledge, to know, not in the flesh, not by the soul, but by the Spirit. Natural reason, in however good it is, comes from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And it also leads to pride. Now God wants to deal with pride. Self-reliant, self-centered, self-confident, self-sufficient, self-defensive, self-deception, self-righteousness. There's a lot of self that God is going to get rid of this year. And we have to surrender ourselves to him to allow him to do it. He doesn't force us, although he does put pressure on us at times if we're not quick enough. But the reality is he wants to bring us back to our inheritance. Familiar spirits empower the soul to continue operating the way they've always operated. Even family spirits that have operated in family for generations, we're going to see those things broken, and we're going to see deliverance from those things this year and a change. Our inheritance is a restored birthright and identity as God's children. Adam walked with God. He saw, he heard, he understood in union with God by revelation knowledge. Everything was in unity. Everything was a flow of the Spirit of life, because there was things. Adam was unified, spirit, soul, and body. We're going to see that restored. God has started to do that. Physical healing, emotional healing, but it's going to be so much more when it comes back into wholeness. Adam was clothed with glory. It says in Psalm 8, I think, that he was crowned with glory and honor, because he was set up to be a king. We're going to be clothed with glory. The manifest presence of God is going to be around us in glory. Adam was God-conscious and not self-conscious. And that is going to start to change this year. Adam operated in the physical and spiritual realms. We've seen many testimonies today of seeing in those spiritual realms. But we need to start living in those spiritual realms and operating those realms, bringing God's will as it is in heaven on earth. That means wherever we are. Not just in meetings, but great in staff meetings and in offices and in homes and everywhere else. It's about bringing that spiritual dimension of God's blessing, his will, as it is in heaven on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's one of the most famous prayers that there is. But actually, most people have got no idea what it means. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're talking about bringing the manifest presence of heaven to earth around us and through us. That's going to start to happen more and more. The Garden of Eden was where heaven and earth overlapped. We're going to start to see heaven and earth overlapping in the garden that God has placed within us, in our spirit, more and more as we come through this year. Adam had access to the river of life and the tree of life. They were in the garden. They're now in heaven. We have access to them because we have access into the spiritual realms, because we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Every spiritual blessing is ours in the spiritual realm. So if we can't access the spiritual realm, we can't access the blessings. So we have to be living as a man of the spirit and the body, because we are spirit, soul, and body. So we have access to live in those realms. Restoration of our birthright. Our eyes are going to be open. We're going to be clothed with royal robes of righteousness and authority. Restoration of relationship. Therefore, what Adam had in the garden, acceptance, security, affirmation, approval, purpose, significance, all those things that we have need of, those are going to start to be restored more and more. The spirit garden is going to be restored. A call to intimacy and revelation, secret place with God, heavenly places, angelic visitations. You know, daily, God wants us to experience his presence in reality. And we can enter into that. The invitation, just like Adam was to walk with God, we have the same invitation today, to walk with God. Right? Not to see God as a million miles away or in some dimension. He's in us. We are a habitation of God. By the Spirit, the Son and the Father say they came to dwell with us, make their home in us. So we can walk with God, and we need to be conscious of it. Restored spiritual vision, hearing, and authority. That's what we're going to start to see. Now, there's four words that I first shared with you probably about 2 years ago or more that God gave me, and I really sort of looked up what the words meant, but actually didn't see the spiritual significance of it totally. Now I do. This year, there is going to be an investiture. An investiture is when you're clothed with robes of authority. Now, people are going to be clothed with robes of authority this year, and therefore, there is going to be a succession, which is when you are actually succeeding what is gone before you. And that means enthronement. And enthronement means being sat on a royal throne. Some of you started to see thrones. Some of you have wrestled things from thrones. Actually, all of us have a right to be enthroned in the second heaven realm from a third heaven perspective, because we've got thrones. We've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, more and more this year, we're going to start to see this take place. And I'm going to share more about this as time comes on. Now, for us, this is really, really important. God's word is a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. Now, that's Psalm 119, verse 105. It doesn't mean just the Bible as a book. It's meaning God's now word, his spoken word to us every day. It's going to actually show us where we are. It's going to show us where we stand, because we need to be able to stand firm. It's going to show us the path ahead. It doesn't necessarily show us the whole thing. I had a vision the other day where I was walking in the valley of the shadow of the death, which actually is our everyday walk. We walk every day in the valley of the shadow of death, because all around us is a world which some of it's under the authority of the enemy. So we walk, but we don't need to fear, because God is with us. And I saw God walking with me, and he had a staff and a rod in his hand, and he used the rod, and basically it illuminated around my feet, and I could see where I was. And it illuminated around the path ahead, and I could see where to go. God is going to direct us to see where we are and who we are, and then where we need to go this year. This is a scripture that Sue Davis brought and encouraged us to pray. She encouraged us to pray this for the leadership, but I want also for yourselves. And I want to encourage you to pray this for yourself, and I've got it all written out for you. I'll pass it out in a minute. So that you can take this, pray it, one portion of this per day for seven days and then for 4 weeks. And it's about revelation knowledge. It's about knowing God and knowing who we are. One portion each day for 4 weeks. Pray for your leaders, pray for yourself, pray for your family and friends, and pray in faith that these things are going to think. And she basically prophesied and said, watch the change. And I want to encourage you to do that. These are the seven portions: to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, praying that we'd live a life worthy of the Lord, to please God in every way, to bear fruit in every good work and know in and grow in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened with all power, to have steadfastness and patience, to be joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. Now, if we were living all that stuff every day, there would be a major change in how we lived and what we did. Now, God wants, this is the word of God, this is what Paul prayed. This parallel passage is in Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. It is the truth that Paul said, this is what we need. This is who we need to be. Filled with the knowledge of his will. So I'd encourage you, I'll pass these out. And please, hopefully they'll meet in the middle somewhere. Please do it. It's like it was a prophetic word that was given to us. I believe and received that word I will be praying that every day, and I want to encourage you to pray it. Pray it over yourselves. Pray it over people you want to be see blessed by God, and God is going to take that word and use it to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Another scripture which is really important for this year is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a revelation of who God is to us and how we can live with Him on a daily basis. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, talking about intimacy, a place of revelation. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. That's what I believe God is wanting to do, restore our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And on. I encourage you, meditate on that scripture. Meditate. Go see yourself there. Have encounters with God in that place where He is the shepherd. You shall not want. So if you've got any wants in your life, any needs in your life, come and see that God is your shepherd. And He's going to meet those needs. Now, there have been some specific words for this year that God has spoken to me, and I want to just bring them. One of them is new levels of intimacy will require new levels of giving. And that, not just physical giving, it's just ourselves. If we want more of God, we've got to give Him more. God is using the bit that we're giving Him right now and doing His best with it. But if we give Him more, then He'll be able to do more and take us to new levels of revelation and intimacy, new levels of boldness in vision and the supernatural. And we're seeing more and more people being able to hear and see and share and be bold in them. And actually not just here. You know, I want to see vision and boldness in the supernatural wherever we are, in every part of our lives. More of heaven in 2011. Yeah. That's a word that God's given. Take hold of it, because that is God's heart. Now, we won't have more of heaven in 2011 if we're cynical and skeptical. And Deb's word is absolutely right. The enemy will always try and get us to look at things and think, oh, they're off their plant, off their trolley. You know. But actually, Paul went to heaven. Paul spent 3 years in the Arabian desert having revelation from heaven to actually be able to write all the epistles. You know what he said of his Old Testament teaching and training and upbringing? He said it's all rubbish. Dung is the actual word. I was not going to say that, but Graham prompted me to actually say what it really means in the Greek. Actually, dung. All dung. Because then he had revelation from heaven, and that's what he shared. Now, this is a word I want to speak, because I believe it's important, because yet God showed me this and showed me the enemy has a strategy to use people's unhealthy lifestyles against them. And we need freedom fit, all right? Freedom fit, spiritually fit, also physically fit. But don't let the enemy use your lifestyle against you to bring you into tiredness and weariness and sickness and ill health. Let's be real, because it's like the enemy will use what he can. God has given us a body and He wants us to look after it. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. So let's be real with it. We're all going to be able to experience the tree and river of life and see our scroll of destiny this year. Everyone can do that. I'm going to help you do that. I'm going to lead you to do that. So I've seen it. Many other people have seen it. But actually, God wants to reveal your destiny and what's written there before the foundation of the world. And we're going to see that this year. We're going to occupy second heaven thrones of our inheritance. Four thrones particularly that God's spoken to me about. Throne of blessing, the throne of health, the throne of freedom, and the throne of harmony. Yeah. Yeah. The first heaven is the realm that we see around us. The whole cosmos, the universe. God created that for man. He created a second heaven in which there is a spiritual realm where angels and demons operate. But actually Adam was given the authority to operate there. But when he gave that authority to the devil took that. And there's conflict in that zone that we need to be involved in and we need to deal with. The third heaven is the throne, where the throne room of God and God resides, where the all the sort of things in heaven, the rivers, the river of life, the tree of life, lots of things there that are, you know, I've experienced quite a lot of them. I know there's so much more for experiencing. God wants us to actually occupy that area of authority so that we can release that here on earth. And therefore, we're going to have to learn how to wrestle against poverty, infirmity, addiction, and conflict. And God is going to give us the tools to do that. We're going to start a new supernatural discipleship group in March after Chris has finished the training. And I'll share what the criteria for that is next week. All our teaching will be seeking to have encounters, knowing God by experience. We're not looking to impart knowledge in for the head. We need to encounter God in our spirit so that our spirit can receive it and live it out. And that's a big change in terms of how we see how revelation knowledge comes. You know, look back into the Old Testament. God encountered Abraham. He encountered Moses and Jacob. He encountered Enoch. He encountered Adam. He actually came and met with them. We need to meet with God in encounters so that we know him by experience. And some of the encounters I'm looking forward to this year, living in and living out the manifest presence of God. That's what God gave me in heaven as a message for my life, to encourage people to live in and live out the manifest presence of God. God's glory in us, manifested around us. Intimacy. There is so much more depth to intimacy than any of us have experienced. Grace and faith. How those things work together. Body, soul, and spirit gates. In terms of what's in us, flowing out through us to the world around us. There are spiritual and body and soul gates. Senses that God uses to flow through the heavenly realms. Encountering God in the heavenly realms, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is so powerful and significant. And for many years, I sort of, well, the blood of Jesus is the death of Jesus and the cross, great. But actually, there's so much more than that. And I want to teach some more on that. Intercession. Intercession is key to this second heaven realm. Being able to intercede from the third and second heaven is really important. Praise, so much more to praise than we've already experienced. That is a picture of where our sight is here in terms of our vision. This is where we are right here, where number three is. Last year we went out and staked that ground. So number 1 to 10 were all stakes with scriptures on them that we went out and we planted in the ground and we prayed over that area. God wants us to influence that whole area. More than that, it will be, but in instance that, and some of this he wants us actually to own and to work out. So we prayed for this area here, and then this is expanded into this whole area here, and then this expands to this area and this area in which we will have a godly influence. This is our area of authority, and we have to operate in authority in that place, and God is going to give more and more revelation about that in the future. Now, what God has actually spoken to us is prophetic revelation, okay? It's progressive revelation. He's given us some insights and scriptures, some prophetic words in the past, which we've looked to be obedient to, but then he adds to it. He continues to think, because, you know, to be honest, if God had told me in 1993 exactly what we'd be doing now, I wouldn't have believed him, because I couldn't see it. So he told me enough to get me up here and to start the church, and enough revelation to do that, to lay a foundation which we could build on. Now, since that time, we've had continued progressive prophetic revelation, which has taken us from one step to another step to another step until we're here now. And there's going to be more revelation that comes in the future. Now, I think I'll leave it there, because I want to actually pray for everybody. So I need to skip this here and now, because I think let me go to a slide at the end. Okay. Now, a while ago, I actually had a vision of myself, and I saw myself in one hand having balls of light, and in the other hand, I had like an electric charge, and I could see myself using these balls of light and electric charge, and I've seen that quite a number of times, and today I actually want to release it. Okay, so I went and meditated on that. I said, God, what do you want me to do with it? Do I just release that over the people, or actually, what is it about? And this is where it ties in with what Shirley's treasure chest is, because God spoke to me, and he spoke about every person, that I was connected with the church, about wanting to reveal something of the now word of God for them. So I want to release a word to each of you, and there are groups where these words are together, okay? And the word, one word is son. Now, son is your identity as men, as a son of God. But the alternative identity of the Father is what you need to know. So when I release this word, what God is saying is he wants to give you revelation of your sonship and his fatherhood. And he wants to give that revelation as a sense of an impartation to enable you to pursue that revelation yourself. But if you pursue God as Father, you will have deeper revelation of who you are as a son. That's one. Daughter, father, the same thing. Prince, the revelation is God as king, his royalty, because you are a prince, princess. Revelation as a princess because God is a king. Another one, warrior. Revelation of the Lord of hosts, Lord of the angel armies. Now for those who are called into this warrior thing, seek God of what it means, intercessor. You need revelation of God as high priest, Jesus. Seer, it's about prophetic. Knowing God as creator, how did God create? How does he create? How does he speak? How does he speak forth? How does he show us things? It's going to be deeper revelation that comes as you impart that. And the other one is lover. You need to know God as love. He is love. And he wants us to have revelation of what it is to be a lover, to be intimate with him. So those are, I don't know how many are, eight categories there. And I prayed over everybody and asked what category they were in. Now, as I released this, I want you to come, so I can pray for you. If you don't want to come, pray, that's fine, I can just receive it where you are, but I would encourage you to come, because I want to impart. I'm just going to impart the light and the spirit of impartation to it. If I pray for people, I'll get in a prophetic flow, and we'll never be finished, all right? So I'm just going to pray and do that. So I just want you to, in faith, to receive that, and then to pursue it in your own personal time with God. Receive this as a now word. You know, it might be for a week, it might be for a month, it might be for the whole year. God might give you more now words, but actually this is where I believe God wants to actually do it now. Okay? Does everyone sort of understand that? Okay, so the first one I'm going to do is the whole thing of son. And these are the people that I believe I want to release that to. That's Dan. So Dan, who saw me on my screen earlier, what's that? He said, now you know. God wants to reveal to each of you that you are his son and that he is your father. So it's Chris, if you see your name up there, there are a number of people who've got the same first name, different surname. So you'll see Steve G is Steve George, Chris P is Chris Pinder, Chris S is Chris Saunders. If you want to come, I really want to release that over you. Some people might not be here, and I'll have an opportunity of praying for them another day, okay?